The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is Acts 11:18 a scripture that teaches about repentance, that it is necessary for eternal life? Let's talk about it today on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us and subscribe to our daily blogs. Access hundreds of articles which we've written on the Free Grace Position, and more at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Okay, Mike, I have another question. This is from RG. He says, "Hello, GES. I've been following you for quite a while now. I'm grateful for your ministry. I've heard over and over again that repentance is not required for salvation. Does Acts 11:18 contradict that?" And he says, "Zane Hodges says that the life in Acts 11:18 is eternal life. If that's the case, if repentance has nothing to do with salvation, then why does it lead to eternal life?" So maybe you could read, Mike, Acts 11:18, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, this is Peter recounting his experience with Cornelius' conversions. Acts 11:18. "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'"
Yeah, and I discussed this in several of my books. I think I discussed it in the 10 Most Misunderstood Words. I have a chapter on repentance. I discussed it in my book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, a whole book on repentance. And basically what I suggest is there are multiple ways of understanding this. Zane's view is one of the options. First of all, let's go back to Acts chapter 10. And if you read in his sermon to Cornelius and his household, he talks about the fact that Jesus died and then he rose again. And then he says, verse 43, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him receives remission of sins." Now, Peter was not planning on finishing. In fact, the next verse says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word." Well, you wonder, why is it they came to faith when they didn't hear anything about everlasting life or salvation or eternal salvation? Well, the answer is found in Acts 11:14. Because in Acts 11:14, Cornelius reported to Peter something that isn't said in Acts chapter 10. Could you read Acts 11:14?
"Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved."
So the angel had told Cornelius to send for Simon Peter and told him that Simon Peter is going to tell you words by which you and your household must be saved. So when they heard whoever believes in him receives the remission of sins, they understood, along with the remission of sins, he's talking about salvation, everlasting life. And so at that moment, they believe, and the Spirit falls upon them, and they're born again. And so Peter says, "Well, who can forbid water of baptism for those who have received the Spirit just as we have?" And so when Peter is then talking to some of his Jewish believing brethren, he's got, well, it's not absolutely certain these are believers. We should say Jewish brethren, but I would say they're Jewish believers. There are several possibilities on why they say in Acts 11:18, "Then God has granted the Gentiles repentance that leads to life." One option is that they are saying Cornelius and his household had repented in the past, and that had made them open to the saving message, and now they believe and they have eternal life. Another option is that repentance is not necessary to lead to life, but it can lead to life. I think that's Hodges' view, is that repentance, what they're saying is Cornelius and his household had repented in the past, and that led to them coming to faith in Christ. Not that that was necessary, but that in their case, that's what happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah, someone who's seeking God or seeking an answer for these things is more likely to find it than someone who is not open at all, right?
Right. But being open is not quite the same as repentance. So What these people would be saying is Cornelius and his household had turned from their sins. Mm. They had begun to follow Judaism and to seek the truth. And that's all true. I mean, they had turned from their sins. He's called a devout man at the beginning of Acts chapter 10. So it would be clear that he repented. Now, to say that they were saying that repentance is necessary to have life, I think is going beyond what the words say. But it's possible they're saying this. If so, they would be like the unbelievers in Acts 15:1, who were saying that it's necessary to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses to be saved. But I think there's no indication here that these are unbelieving Jews. These are believing Jews that came with Peter. So one option is they're saying repentance can lead someone to believe in Christ and to have everlasting life. Another option is they're simply saying this is repentance that leads to fullness of life. And so they're not saying that this was necessary for them to be born again, but this was necessary for them to have fullness of life. Whatever they're saying, they're certainly not contradicting what Peter said in Acts 10. And also, by the way, look over at Acts 15. In Acts 15, they have the Jerusalem Council, which I alluded to Acts 15:1 earlier. And Acts 15:5 says that there were some Pharisees who believed, who rose up saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Not to be saved, but to be sanctified. And that was rejected too.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes, like faith alone for eternal salvation, and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
But notice what Peter says in verses 7 through 11. Peter indicates that God sent him to the Gentiles that they should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And then he talks about God purifying their hearts by faith. And so he says, why should we put a yoke on them that we were not able to bear? But we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved in the same manner as they. So Peter is proclaiming justification by faith alone in Acts 15. And it would make no sense that in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, these guys are saying, no, no, you got to add in turning from sins, and that Peter would go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So one option is that they are teaching some form of lordship salvation here, but that option's impossible, so I would reject that right away. The other option is they're saying repentance could lead to eternal life. I think that's Hodge's view. That's possible. And the third view is it's possibly referring to abundance of life. It's interesting, in Acts 10, we're not told by Luke that Cornelius was a repentant man. I mean, it's reasonable to conclude he was because he's called devout. But there's a lot we don't know here on what Acts 11:18 means. But what I think we can say it definitely doesn't mean is that Peter was endorsing the idea that you have to turn from your sins in order to have eternal life, or you have to repent to have eternal life. Because Peter said nothing about repentance in Acts 10. He said nothing about repentance in Acts 15:7 to 11 when he's describing this incident.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, it's not something that is necessary in addition to faith to be born again.
Yeah, and where else do you get that shows clearly that repentance, turning from sins, is not a condition for everlasting life, or even being willing to turn from your sins?
Right. Of course, all of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but certainly the Gospel of John, because in the Gospel of John, the words repent and repentance don't occur at all, not once. John's writing John 20, 30, and 31 to tell his unbelieving readers what they must do to have eternal life, that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing they would have life in his name. So, yeah, John's gospel is a great place to go, but the book of Galatians is too. The book of Galatians is Paul's defense of his gospel of justification by faith alone. Guess how many times he mentions repentance? That would be zero.
Nada, zilch.
Yeah. And of course, Peter never says that repentance is a condition of everlasting life. Now, I know some people use 2 Peter 3:9, but that is a misunderstanding and a misuse of 2 Peter 3:9. Peter only uses the word perish twice in 2 Peter. And they're in verse 6 and verse 9. And in verse 6, he's talking about the people who died in the flood. Then in verse 9, he's saying God does not want billions of people to die in the tribulation. He wants to postpone that.
And so how would you address the idea that some free grace people say repent just means believe? It's just a different word for believe.
I actually wrote my dissertation to say that in 11 different passages in the New Testament, it was a synonym for believing. But in the other 44 uses in the New Testament, it referred to turning from sins, changing your mind about your sins. I've since repented of my view that even 11 passages say that. There's not a single verse in the New Testament that says that repentance is a synonym for faith. Even the 11 passages I once thought, none of them say that. For example, one of the passages I pointed was, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, in Luke 13, 3 and 5. But those verses are clearly talking about physical death, and they're talking about turning from your sinful ways. And if the nation of Israel didn't turn from its sinful ways, the kingdom would not come in the first century. And what would happen is the temple would be destroyed, which it was, and a huge number of Jews would be killed. Josephus reports 1 million Jews died in the Jewish war between 66 and 70. And Jesus wasn't saying 100% when he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. All there stands for a great percentage of the population, which it looks like 50% of the population was killed.
So again, you're looking at the context, and the context doesn't make sense if it just means believe. It actually has to mean turning from sins
right,
in order to fulfill that.
Right, because there were two requirements for the kingdom to come in the first century. The nation had to be believing, and the nation had to be in fellowship with God. That is, it had to be repentant. Mm. In any rate, good question. I think it's important to study the context and to keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode, does the Grace Evangelical Society teach a crossless gospel? Find out. Join us again. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.